As we continue in worship, we turn towards the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it's 11 through 16, but I'll be referencing back to verses 1 through 16 throughout the scripture, and then over to the Gospel of Luke as well. But Ephesians 4, 11 through 16 says, the gifts he gave were would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every kind of wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together in worship this morning. Thank you for the rain yesterday, the cooler weather here in the springtime. It almost feels like winter. But God, we give you thanks for the opportunity that we might join in this place, that our hearts might be warmed, that we might know that we are on the journey towards perfection in your love, as we grow together by serving one another, by finding our place, by being part of something bigger than ourselves. And so be with us today. Speak through me and in spite of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, United Methodist leaders are inviting churches all over the world, 30,000 congregations into a God-led, Holy Spirit-empowered emphasis to live into the new vision of the church. The United Methodist Church, to love boldly, to serve joyfully, and to lead courageously. So over the next few weeks, we'll join with congregations both near and far in a series that highlights what it is to be United Methodist and to be part of a connection that is bigger than one congregation, one conference, even one nation. You see, God's kingdom stretches across borders and boundaries and the seas and the oceans that separate nations in order to impact lives of people who we possibly will never meet on this side of heaven. And so this series will go for a few weeks, and it ends on May 17th, where congregations all over the world will have an opportunity to participate in Miracle Sunday, which an offering will be collected to support over 500 students annually to prepare them for pastoral ministry across Africa, Europe, and the Philippines. So before we dive into the vision statement of loving boldly, serving joyfully, and leading courageously, we're going to look at the foundation of the why and the how we live lives that exuberate these qualities. The why and the how. The why of everything we do starts with Jesus. The body of Christ is shaped to resemble Jesus' example of unity and uniqueness that we share as we live our lives together in community and relationship. The body of Christ, as described in Ephesians 4, describes what it means to have our lives formed by the example of Jesus. If we look back earlier in the chapter of 4, it talks about humility and patience and bearing with one another in love, struggling through life together, entering into the unknown. That's the church. Humility, patience, bearing together in love, walking through life together. The church. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be bound together in unity and love in our shared life in Christ. Ephesians balances knowing that reconciliation has already happened with Christ's work but also the realization that reconciliation continues to happen in humility and gentleness and patience. As we realize that none of us are perfect, we're all sinful, and we all need God's grace and to extend grace to others. In verse 4 of Ephesians 4, it says, "For there's one body and one spirit, just as we've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through all." This is the unity we find when we follow Christ. Strangers become community. People who you might not have known prior become your family in Jesus when we invest and we serve and we support one another in a love that binds us beyond differences that we're prone to be driven to focus on by media, who tells us that we need to fear the other instead of accept and love those who don't think, look, and act like us. Unity is not just something that Christians do passively, but it's something we choose to do. The unity of the created world and human relationships is not accidental, but it's purposeful. It refers to the recognition, acceptance, practice, and celebration of gifts given to the community for building up the body of Christ. Christ's church, Christ's body is at the intersection of divine and human life, where sovereignty, brokenness, and communion are held together by God's grace. It's an intentional effort. It's a sacrificial life. This is where our uniqueness comes in. That through our differences, we're made stronger and better equipped to live out our calling as disciples. Just like different parts of the human body work together to ensure overall well-being and functionality of the body, members of the church also work together in harmony for growth and maturity in the body of Christ. All of us have our unique gifts, talents, and roles to play. We support one another. And when we do, the body flourishes. No one can be you, and we're all called to use our gifts towards the one purpose. The image that Heather used during our children's time of puzzles coming together, piece by piece, each having its unique spot and place. When they all fit together, the complete picture emerges. When members of the church embrace their individuality and work together and find a common goal and place, the body of Christ becomes stronger and more effective in carrying out God's mission on earth. So some gifts that you might see or acknowledge are singing and helping, teaching and serving, leadership and generosity, all the gifts utilized for growth in the kingdom, both in our daily lives and in the church. They're all needed. Because friends, we can sing all day, but without generosity, it's hard to keep the lights on. And we can have all people teaching, but if there are not people who are also serving, then people really don't care what we think or know. There's no gift that is more important than another. All are necessary for the church to be whole. In Ephesians, the writer celebrates those different qualities that everyone brings. The calling of the church will require mature and loving work as a unified body. I think Paul's goal was to remind the community of the one church in which we are called to be. One church when we align ourselves with God's intentions. When we align ourselves with God's intentions, we grow as a disciple and in as a church. And this is where the how comes in. That's the why, with Jesus as our main focus and the unity and the uniqueness that he calls us to. But the how do we do this as well? We do not do it by our own strength. We cannot do it by our own strength, actually. As followers, we live by and with the power of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us into this uniqueness and unity and sustains us for the abundant life and faithful witness. The how is the Holy Spirit. There are many scriptures that talk about the Spirit, and in just a few weeks, we'll celebrate Pentecost with a coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, and they begin speaking in native languages, and the church grows. But for our purpose this morning, I want to draw from Luke 12, 11 through 12, where it says, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious how or what you are to answer or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." The passage is part of a larger discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples about being true followers. And Jesus teaches them about the importance of not being fearful regarding persecution or opinions. He emphasizes about keeping our faith alive in Jesus. And that's paramount, regardless of the challenges that arise. He was assuring them that they are not alone. The Holy Spirit would empower them to speak boldly, regardless of their fears. The scripture is a reminder of the how. It's a reminder that we do not need to rely solely on our own wisdom or knowledge, especially when we find ourselves in challenging situations, but instead it reassures us that God provides the guidance when we need it in the right moment. That God's not distant or uninvolved, but he's engaged, ready to assist through his Holy Spirit. And as followers of Christ, we can confidently approach each and every situation knowing that we have divine support. When we go into places unprepared or where we feel unprepared or inequipped, the promise is there that the Holy Spirit will teach us and help us through those times. And so, friends, as we live into the vision of the United Methodist Church during this time to love boldly and to serve joyfully and to lead courageously, may we always remain focused on our why, which is Jesus Christ. And may we acknowledge our how, empowered through the Holy Spirit. And may we move forward to do these things, loving boldly, serving joyfully, and leading courageously, so that we can accomplish all that is set before us for such a time as this, that we might be the church that Christ has called us to be. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and thank you for this time. We thank you for the church, for each and every person, for the gifts and the talents, for the ways in which you have pieced them together, that we might be part of something so much greater than ourselves in this local congregation and in the church across the world. God, we thank you for your love for us, that we might love others, and that we might love boldly, that we might serve joyfully, that we might lead courageously, not for our sake, but for yours. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.